Have you had the birds and the bees talk with your children? We're talking teenagers here. Did you just cover the mechanics and the risks, or did you delve further and to explain perhaps why people do it in the first place? The thought of chatting about sex with your kids might have you cringing at your radio, but ongoing research at Edith Cowan University in Western Australia has found that children aged 11 to 17 feel their sex education is seriously lacking. While we've advanced, really, to now include conversations about consent, teens are turning to online resources to fill the gaps left behind on how to have enjoyable sex. Giselle Woodley is a researcher and PhD candidate at Edith Cowan University. She's here to talk about the ins and outs of good sex education. What does sex education look like in schools these days, Giselle?
Well, hello there. Sex education currently in schools is either almost non-existent or, according to the teens that we speak to, overwhelmingly focused on consent at the moment, or not covering it with quite enough detail. And at the moment, they're also complaining that teachers are talking around sex. So although it's meant to be sex education, sex is often not included or very often talked around.
Yeah, that's interesting, because a friend of mine has a 10-year-old boy, and, you know, maybe he was asking a few questions, so they sought some advice from teachers and online, and they sat him down and gave him a talk, which was largely about consent training, which for a 10-year-old boy to understand sex through the lens of, you know, the sort of ethical and legal minefield of consent as the first glimpse of his education perhaps is not giving him a real grounding in how to have a healthy relationship. What these children in this survey, what's the sort of overriding message about sex that they're being left with, do you think? Is it that it's positive or that it's intimidating?
Well, the teens we speak to, a lot of them had fears around sex, because if you just talk about it primarily from a fear-based position, so, you know, obtain permission, sexual assault can happen, it helped to develop fears within the kids that we spoke to, and they had a fear around sex because it wasn't talked about in a positive lens. And although it's really important to talk about consent and the safety aspects, that information really does have to be balanced with positive aspects of sexuality so that they can have a balanced approach to this information and not incite this fear around sex, which already so many teens do.
It sounds to me, through reading this research, that kids are basically going to find their own answers from whatever's, lacking from formal school education. Where are they going exactly?
So the research that we conduct not only looks at their perceptions of relationships and sexuality education, but it's part of broader research looking at access to online materials, including pornography and sexting and online sexual content. So what we were looking at was, where do they go to source their sexual information? And primarily they would note Google, often pornography, and schools, and then parents would often come last. So they're primarily going online for these answers. And although they could say Google's probably not that reliable, that was their first go-to. And for the topics that schools and homes skirt around, pornography is obviously a more explicit source of information that they could go to, but that comes with all kinds of detrimental problems when you consider that's your primary source of information.
So the next logical question is, where are teachers being taught? What kinds of quality training are teachers from different state and territory education departments receiving?
So teachers already have such a difficult job. We have an overcrowded curriculum. We're constantly asking them to teach new things, and they're the first to be blamed when something's missing from the education system. But currently with the new 9.0 curriculum, the health and physical education learning area last year was updated to include consent to be rolled out this year. But what we can ascertain from our research, which has been occurring since 2020, is that during this time where consent became at the forefront of public debate, is that schools were rushing to roll this out. And young people we were speaking to complained that it was very obvious the teachers hadn't been trained. They were often reading from a screen, popping on the tea and consent video, or having very vague discussions about consent. So, you know, no means no, yes means yes. Don't have sex with someone if they're drunk, which is key information, but it it needs to go beyond that. So at the moment, most courses, including health and physical education, don't include any sexuality units or components. And coming from a sexological lens, we believe it should be a whole school approach. So it shouldn't primarily, although it can primarily sit within health and physical ed, it can actually be taught in any area. You know, you can talk about gender and identity in English or various histories in social sciences. So it can be taken on with everyone. But currently there's no real specific training. Some do take additional learning in their PDs, and there is some units in WA. But aside from that, there's nothing mandatory. So we've rolled out this mandatory, very value-laden education that really needs that support and training with no actual training given.
This would seem like a very regressive step. I mean, I went to high school in the 90s. We did sex education four different times, once in science for the biology, once in PE for the kind of personal health factor, once in religion even, and then there was a separate sex education ethics class. It was almost too much, but it seems like it's gone the other way. If you just join me on RN Drive, researcher and PhD candidate Giselle Woodley is here. We're talking about sex education and what's missing for teens here on RN Drive. You can text to join the conversation, 0418226576. David in Lonnie says, I was in Adelaide for my high schooling in the late 70s. I can't remember anything about sex ed apart from visiting a visiting expert on the subject called Mr. Horn, which must have attracted a fair few sniggers there. This text too, I remember in Form 1 in 1963, Mum and I went to a mother and daughter night. These things were quite common back in the 60s to learn about what I thought was human reproduction. And I remember a woman in a floral suit with a huge floppy hat standing out the front with one of those pull-up screens behind her. Then she went to a film projector and turned it on. What did I learn? Well, how chickens reproduce. So again, probably missing the point for kids and teens with a lot of questions there. So when sex education in the past focused mainly on bodies and bugs and babies, so to speak, where could it be improved? Surely teaching and teacher training, but what about the impact of having a healthy sex life? Because certainly there's this moral concern amongst some, surely, that if you're teaching teens about how to have sex, then you know some parents may not be quite happy with that.
Well, evidence actually suggests that comprehensive relationships and sexuality education actually delays first sexual activity and reduces the instance of obtaining an STI. So I see comprehensive relationships and sexuality education as basically really essential life skills. So things like communication skills to navigate both conflict and relationships in a healthy manner, as well as building empathy and building boundaries and managing if someone rejects you, not taking it personally, and developing those relational skills that not only improve relationships into adulthood, but increase individual well-being. And, you know, those skills are great in romantic relationships, but also all relationships. So
Far more practical advice as well. I mean, so for those parents perhaps fielding a few curious questions, where would you direct them in terms of some solid resources to teach children or teenagers about sex?
Yeah, sure. So in our research, teens were hesitant to talk about to their parents about sex, but I would say that, and the research also suggests that parents are best positioned to give that education in conjunction with schools, where you can talk about the ethics and morality and aspects such as beliefs and attitudes in the family home. But there's a resource by Healthy WA called Talk Soon, Talk Often, which is a free guide. You can just sort of Google it in Talk Soon, Talk Often. It's a free guide that offers age-appropriate education where you can talk to kids as young as three and start talking about appropriate, or even 0 to 18, really, I think it is. And we, you know, you don't start talking about sex from the get-go. You start talking about appropriate names for body parts and the basics of consent. And then as you go on, you start talking about, you know, puberty and sexting and contraception, et cetera, in an age-appropriate way. So that's an amazing resource. We also, our relationships and sexuality education advocacy group called BlueMed. So we have a page that if you type in BlueMed, so BLOOM-ED.org, that if you click on the Allies page there, we have a bunch of national-based groups that offer education for parents as well, and offer a few different services, but a couple of them talking the talk, Health Sex Ed in Victoria, they have a resource for parents. I think it's a paid resource, but they have one there.
I tell you what, we can put some of these, we can put a link to some of these important resources on the website. Hey, thanks so much for joining me, Giselle.
No worries.
Giselle Woodley is a researcher and PhD candidate at Edith Cowan University in Western Australia.
Getting in touch with ABC RN is easy. Join the conversation live using the ABC Listen app's call and text features.